Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. What is today? Monday?
March 14th.
March 14th, halfway through the month. Good morning, Rob West. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
It's good to have you back.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
You're constantly hustling something. I love it.
Got to stay moving, right?
Well, I think that's what keeps us grounded and smiling. I think if we sit around doing nothing, we find a lot of resentments and worry about other junk. So I love it that you're always busy.
Always busy, man. Always moving.
So you've been on the podcast. Is this your second time or third?
Well, I was on with Tiffany Caldwell.
Yeah, so okay.
I was on with you with Lyft and then back with Making Difference Coalition.
Yeah, so you're back, and thank you for coming back. I appreciate it. So real quick, the Lyft program, let's discuss that a little bit and what you're doing with that and where that is today.
Well, Dantes Collins, my cousin,
yep.
You know, he basically spearheads that program. I kind of just assist and help him facilitate things.
Right.
He's doing a wonderful job at getting guys together.
Guys.
Yeah, just guys.
You right.
Know, guys in general. Putting them in suits, you know, I guess instilling the premise that, you know, look good, feel good, feel good, look good.
Yeah.
You know, just walking upright, doing the right things, you know.
There is something that kind of happens to us when I remember the first time, because, you know, I have a little history of you know, taking an alternative path, you know, and finding my way. But I remember the first time, like, I really, like, got dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember just, like, gosh, like, it took me to another level. Just being, you know, like, suiting up and, you know, putting it all together. I hadn't done that for a long time. It was nice to finally be part of the group that dressed up a little bit. And sometimes it's that simple, right?
Yeah, it is. Did you remember how to tie your tie?
I didn't know how to tie a tie. I can tie a tie now, but I it's always lopsided. I feel like I need to do, I'm not hitting the double. I'm just doing the single, you know, the single Windsor.
Yeah.
I need the double.
Absolutely. Or the full Windsor, yeah.
Oh, dude, there is a tie game out there.
There's a super tie game.
There's a super tie game.
Absolutely.
With levels of absolutely. Tie.
At levels.
No,
levels.
But just, yeah, I mean, even learning how to tie a tie. It just, I don't know, when I kind of was hanging out at the bottom for a while and then finally started to get my act together, and I remember the first time that I dressed up, and I just remember I was like, I finally made it to a place where I can dress up. And I think that it gave me a little bit of pride and gave me a little bit of my dignity back. And it was nice. So I like how that when we were talking about the Lyft program, and this is what? It's pre-COVID, right?
Yeah, it's pre-COVID.
Yeah, so a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
2 years, yep.
Yeah, 2 years. And I remember you were doing an event down at the
Children's Beach House.
Yep, Children's Beach House.
Absolutely.
And all the guys had to dress up, and I just thought it was great. I thought it was awesome what you were doing.
It was awesome. We had some kids come in, and I mean, just the experience of physically dressing to the nines and what that looks like, you know, how you have to act. You know, just, I mean, it's just it's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. Do you teach kids how to tie a tie?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That's
half
awesome.
Windsor, full Windsor.
I may need a lesson. I saw this guy on Instagram. He did this thing, and he held the tie, did a knot, wrapped it around his elbow, pulled it through, put it over his head and pulled it.
Four-handed.
Is that what that's called?
It's one of those.
It was a nice knot.
Yeah.
I love it. So what are you doing now? We talked the other day. You got some new stuff going on. And you asked if you can come on and let's learn about it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, my central base of operations in the not-for-profit sector would be where my passion is, Making a Difference Coalition. We're just a group of men, women, pastors, educators who just decided, hey, listen, we need to come together and we need to find a way to not only create new avenues and ways to get to our youth and young adults, but, you know, find those ones who really need a little bit more equity.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a word post-COVID, right? That
equity.
Equity, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, I come
value.
Up
with... Value?
Yeah. Because we've all come up on, if you're over the age of 30, you know, you come in that era where equality, you know, come up in a household with four or five siblings and, you know, everybody gets the same thing.
Yeah.
But we're in a different era now and our kids need a little bit more and I can't give Jane the same thing I give Johnny, you know, so...
No, and in the last 2 years, just how we think about things has changed.
Oh, man. It's completely. So we attach a little bit of that equity with finding kids who are striving for excellence in a way of education and post-grad education.
Yeah.
And we try to find those kids and support those kids in a way that is a little bit different. Different meaning, you know, we've done the process where we raise money and we put money on the kids' books.
Wow,
and,
that's nice.
And at the colleges and different things that they're going to. But, you know, we said, let's take it a step further. Let's get a little bit more personable. What if a kid needs is traveling from Delaware and they got an offer in Florida? You know, what does that look like for the kid and the parent? You know, they might need U-Haul money. They might need, you know. So what does that equity look like?
Right.
And so we create opportunities where we can raise funds and say, hey, listen, mom, dad, son, daughter, let's sit down, let's talk. What exactly do you need in this journey?
Right.
Because it's a new experience. And I didn't go to college. So, you know, I can only imagine how this conversation would have went with my parents if I had said, hey, listen, I got accepted down in Jacksonville.
Mm.
And mom's looking at me and said, that's 16, 17 hours away, son. Like, how are we going to pull that off? You know, it takes money.
Listen, if my son told me that today, I'd struggle. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's between working and everything else. I'm not sure how, you know, I mean... Sort of kidding, but it's a big thing.
Yeah. So what if there was a program out there that could create some funds to, I guess, direct towards a kid's immediate needs?
Right.
You know, we started, this is our second or third year, and, you know, we've had kids that right during the COVID, hey, listen, Rob, I got to go to campus. You know, my campus isn't shutting down. You know, I said, well, what does that look like in terms of printing papers out and doing things? Like, oh, I got to go to the library. No, we don't want you to go to the library. Let's see if we can buy you a Bluetooth printer, get you some ink and a bunch of paper, and see if we can, you can do that from your room, from your dorm.
Right.
You know, like, so those are the kind of opportunities we're talking about, you know, directing kids' immediate needs versus putting money on a kid's book and then them 6 months into college saying, hey, listen, this isn't for me. What happens to those funds? Does college just write them a check and send them off their way?
I would imagine not.
You might be surprised.
Okay. So
where does that money go? Where do you think it goes? Does it go into the school program or does it go into the educational system?
Like, are you talking about in college?
Yeah. If Rehoboth Sosa writes a $10,000 check to a kid and says, hey, we're going to put this on your school books, like, and they drop out 6 months later, what happens to those funds?
I don't know. What happens?
Yeah, man, it's a gray area.
Oh, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, so hey, listen, I urge people to find out because as a nonprofit, you know, what if they're cashing these checks out to these kids because they worked and they earned it, and then they went 6 months and they realized, hey, this isn't for me, and they're writing these checks out, you know, larger than they can cash, and then it's like, you know, now we're setting these kids up for what?
So why would you find out the kid? What would be a good reason why? I can't, you know, I know when I went to college. First of all, I was just too immature for college. I really struggled. Dempsey and I had talked about this. You know, I went to the University of New Mexico. It was so big. I felt lost. I was very out of place. You know, we've been talking about the program up at University of Delaware, the
seed program.
Seed program. Yeah. So, you know, how do you help kids find value in themselves? You know, because how many kids back out of college because they just get overwhelmed? How many feel like they're not capable of doing it? How do you create value in young people today?
Well, first, you got to get them to communicate.
Right.
You got to build a rapport with them. My personal experience, you get a kid to a place where they start getting uncomfortable and they start closing in, walls start closing in on them, they start shutting down, and then it's downhill from there.
Yeah.
But if you can kind of build a relationship with these kids early on where you establish a sense of trust or a trust system, then, you know, they would be more, you know, available to say, hey, listen, I'm going through this and I need help. And then we can extend a helping hand.
Well, I know with my own kids, because I have three, two of them, which are in junior and fifth grade. And even with my daughter Teresa, you know, it's always been about, I mean, of course you want them to do well and you know, get good grades and stuff, but it's always been about, can you have a conversation? You know, like, if you come to me and you're like, Dad, I need help doing this and that, my first question is, why do you need my help? Because, other, you know, obviously something happened, whether it wasn't paying attention or the ability to not tell your teacher, listen, I'm not sure I understand, right? Absolutely. Whether it's embarrassment, you don't want to be pointed out by the rest of the class. So there's all that stuff. I've always been like, listen, if you don't understand it, it's more important to me that you can go to your teacher and say, listen, I need some help, instead of coming to me and then me filling in all the blanks and then making you appear to be better. That's what my parents did with me. And it was a mess. It was a big time mess, because when I got out on my own, I couldn't do really much for myself. And so trying to balance that. And I think when, at least for my kids, I feel like if they're able to do that, I think that does start to create a little value in themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's almost can be started off as just at that level, that ground level of like, just, I'm not sure I understand, right? Just that.
Absolutely. I mean, the reaching out for help. I mean, how many 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds do we know who are taking driver's ed right now, right?
Yeah, my son just finished.
They don't want to even go through the drive-thru and order their own food, right? I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to, you know, right? I mean, that's a real thing, right?
It's a real thing.
That's a real thing. You know, we got mental health. We got the unlimited access of social media where these kids can communicate through their fingers and not their mouths, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the power to project voice is almost a being weeded out, right? You know?
It's an art. The art of talking is going away.
It's going away. That's why podcast is important.
Well, and it's funny, even my son Sam, I'm like, how's it going, man? Good. How's your day? Fine. But then I'll text him, how you doing, buddy? Awesome, man. Doing great. And there's like, you know, adjectives and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, you know, and that's because he's texting me.
They're being robbed from their opportunity to learn how to articulate. And not only just articulate in professional settings, in normal settings where, you know, I mean, I've been to the airport and I'm just like, hey, you know where you're at? No, not really, Dad. Well, go ask that person a question and see if we can.
I can text and
find our parents.
Text
and they're like, oh, I'm not doing that. You know?
Well, it's funny. I mean, it's like cursive, right? You know,
that's what I was
mean, when
say.
I was a kid, I had a whole class on cursive.
Is that even in the curriculum anymore?
No. Did you have cursive?
I had cursive.
Did you have cursive?
12 years.
12 years.
Made my sloppy handwriting look good.
Cursive is gone because nobody uses it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't write that much. I mean, there's, of course, people that do in every case. But for the most part, we're not really writing that much. We're doing a lot of, you know, typing or texting. And so they feel like the art of the script and the cursive writing is not necessary. And are we going to start to see this with just vocal communication between, like, you and I? Is that going to start to fade away? Is that going to be, like, something, oh, my God, they actually have a conversation. Let's check this out. Like, this is old school.
Yeah.
Old school talking.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is that their nonverbal communication isn't good either.
No, it's not. It's not. But, you know, it's like my dad will sit, you know, I'll have my father over. He's 84. And the whole world's gone to hell, according to him, right? Because he's back from
everybody old school says that, right?
Yeah, and then, but I'm starting to feel that way. And you're younger than me, and you're starting to feel that way. Is this just the evolution of our life? Is that we just...
It only gets worse.
Yeah, we just reflect in how what life is. Because kids are like, why do I need to talk? We text.
Yeah,
like, what is wrong with you?
And I also think when you start having kids, you know, that reality light comes on and they say, hey, listen, things got to get real, you know? So the playing field of the playground is over, you know, and it, you know, it just starts getting, you know, we got to tighten up and we start thinking about life a little bit. So,
well, it's funny being a parent and because I went from being a kid to being a parent
immediately.
And I was probably 35.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the surrender, you know, and the humility and giving up in this life of what we had. And then as soon as a child comes into your life has changed. And if you want to fight it, not you, but if a person that's, you know, new to being a parent wants to fight what life was like and how it is now, it's a battle. You know, and until you say, listen, this is what I do now, right? And I think that that's what kids go through is, you know, they're clearly focused on self. I think that's how we survive as a kid. But there's a transition that we have to do at some point in our life where we start to think of others and you know, the future and stop fighting every little thing. And I think as a parent, you go through it, and as a kid, we go through it. And I think, you know, I'm starting to see it in my 10-year-old and in my even in my 16-year-old, this transition of thinking of others except of just themselves all the time.
Yeah, process of getting mature, right?
It's maturing, right. And it's great when we have people like you that can because if you don't have a guide through that, right, it can be tough.
Listen, we all need people to facilitate things for us when we don't know how to do it for ourselves.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's kind of what you're up to.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, Making a Difference Coalition, man. We've been active. And it's not all about being in the lights or being on social media and letting everybody know what we're doing. I mean, we feed families. We clothe people who don't have clothes. I mean, so we do a lot and we're out there. But, you know, I was always taught that once you learn how to serve, then you on your path to being a good person.
Right.
You know, because you got to know how to serve. Yeah. You got to know how to serve and not just serve what's right in front of you rightly. Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. So, you know, that's what we're here for, man. We just want to serve and service the community in any way we can, which is, in my mind, you know, to your face, is creating opportunities for our youth and young adults so that, you know, they don't have to live through the same unnecessary evils that I've kind of put myself through coming up as a young adolescent, making mistakes, you know, with nobody to communicate to or with less resources. You know, everything now is at the kids' fingertips. It's just a matter of getting them or steering them in the right direction to create enough courage to say, hey, Dad, I need help. Hey, Dad. You know, because as a parent, we don't want to hear that at the last second. You know, hey, Dad, I'm pregnant. You know what I mean? Or, you know, and it's just like, right now? You know, you know what I mean? We want to know about that ahead of time as a parent. And I think all parents go through this phase where our kids just become aliens, right?
Yeah.
And they shut down and they're doing their own thing and they don't really want to do anything with us. We're not cool enough. And, you know, we always, as a parent, me personally, I have a 1-year-old now and she's walking and talking and I never realized how dependent she is on me. She needs me for everything. And when she can't do it and she can't articulate, she cries. Right?
That's right.
Right? And I'm saying, honey, I had a conversation with her this morning. She has no clue what I'm saying. But I like to talk to her just to, you know, so she can hear me articulate. Like, hey, listen, honey, I need you to start communicating because I need to know exactly what you want.
Baby, I need you to start talking to me.
This point, you know, so, you know, now that
but
she knows.
But, you know, Rob, they, you know, maybe they don't know the words, but they know the tone. They know the eyes. They know how the mouth moves.
They know the energy. They know the energy.
The right? tilt of the head. They know love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they know when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I even, at my 16-year-old, he told me something the other day, and I looked at him, he goes, love you. I go, love you. He goes, love you. Like, he knew that inside. I was very annoyed. But I was trying to be like, hey, I love you. He goes, love you. I'm like, love you. Love you. I go, love you. It was funny. But, you know, even adults, you know, even like, you know, I don't know how, even my wife and I will do stuff, and she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. But she knows I'm annoyed, you know? We still can read that. So just because babies aren't speaking, I think they still know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I think as a parent, you know, you get to that point where you have to say to yourself, like, I don't want to lose that connection.
Right.
I don't want to, because once that connection is kind of severed and gone, it's hard to build those relationships back because that means what? Trust is compromised, right? You know, at some point in time, I've done something that caused this kid to shut off. And, you know, when you start are conscious of that and you want to be aware of that, like, it makes you really think on a day-to-day basis, like, okay, you know, hey, listen, if I wronged you guys, I'm sorry. You know, let's move forward and let's move forward in the right way.
See, there, you're already getting soft.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. Is that what you're saying?
What are you apologizing for? That's the problem. That's the tough part about parenting, you know, because I, you know, it happens with my daughter sometimes. I'll have to be stern and put my foot down. And she's
gotta,
like,
I'm a firm believer you got to pick your moments too.
Because
I grew up in that hard era. And at some point in time, I was like, listen, mom and dad are wrong on this one.
But look at where you're at.
And they're staying firm. No, you're wrong. You know, and I'm just like,
but look where you're at.
Yeah, you know, we went through a couple of years of not talking to each other and all that good stuff. You know, but we're back full circle.
That's right.
You know, but what if the universe doesn't pull that way? You know what I mean? And those relationships are severed forever. You know, and that's the point I'm trying to make, that, you know, at a certain point in time as a parent, we do have to show a certain amount of humility, because I can't be Superman all the time.
No.
You know, and that's the reality of this new era that we're in terms of equity and giving kids exactly what they need. You know, see, my sisters were book smart. You know, me and my brother, we were from the streets. You know, we wanted to get into everything. And then, you know, my mom couldn't really comprehend that because she's book smart. But my dad, on the other hand, he said, listen, y'all better tighten up. You know, so you know, there's...
He's foot smart.
Yeah.
He put a foot in you.
You know, but you know, I just say that just to say that I would have appreciated moments coming up in my younger era where, you know, my parents did show moments of humility. I didn't say that, you know, and just because, you know, that as men we cry or as men we really express our emotions doesn't necessarily pull down the walls of, oh, my dad's weak now. You know what I mean? You know?
Well, it's funny. I'm not sure my dad even heard the word humility when he was young. I think this is a new era word. I mean, clearly it's been around, but, yeah. You know, feelings showed up and you know, consideration and trying to be empathetic of people. And all of a sudden now we have these, you know, words like humility, and my dad's like, what does that even mean? I'm like,
that's old school. That's old
yeah,
school.
He does. He's like,
but also too, understand that they didn't get equity when they were younger. They got equality. You know, you're gonna eat what we cook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna leave the table until it's done. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's why I come. My grandma. Oh my.
Yeah, but
my grandma was a handful.
Ooh. I think that's one of the challenges, I think, for kids. Even as a kid, when I was a kid, you know, we put these things that are supposedly of value. Right? I remember. I want to be a millionaire. That was my goal as a kid. I don't know why. I feel like as society, like, hey, Rob, how you doing? I'm good. Hey, Rob, I'm a millionaire. Rob, hey, Rob. You know, like all of a sudden you're a millionaire. Like now you are of more importance. Like I need to, like, how can I get something out of this? I don't know what it is, but we put value on things that I'm not sure are of value. You know, being able to be told by your grandmother, listen, I don't like what you're saying. You need to apologize. You need to sit down. And if a kid can do that, that sometimes that to me seems like more valuable.
Absolutely.
So trying to figure out what a value is.
It's a give or take. But that's why we have to know those that labor among us. You know, we have to understand and identify who our kids are and what they need. And this is the eye that I'm pretty certain that most of our parents coming up, if we're over the age of 30, 40, didn't care about.
No, they didn't.
They didn't, right? They didn't.
Well, my life was so screwed up. My parents were constantly trying to help me identify what I was or something. I don't know. I was lost. But, you know, as I look at my 16-year-old, you know, trying to allow him to have enough space to try to figure out who he is without butting in, without telling him what to do. Because, you know, at some point, like, you know, you mentioned driver's ed. My son's just finished. He's just got his license. He did it 6 months. Now he's driving. And, you know, we practiced driving, but I didn't practice getting around. I didn't practice, like, mapping out the town. And so he got his license, and off he went. And he was late, you know, because he got lost. But until he gets lost and has to figure it out, he's going to pay attention. When I'm like, all right, David, this is, you know, this is going to be the road you're going to need most of the time. This is Route 1, you know, or whatever it is. He's like, yeah, yeah, But until he gets lost and figures it out,
now he'll appreciate it.
That's the last time he was getting. That's the last time he's been late, you know. And I could have told him 100 times. So, do I allow him to try to do that? You know, that's a. I think it's tough as a parent trying to figure out how to let that happen.
It's got
to
be a perfect melody because we don't want to rob them from experience.
That's right.
Yeah. So it has to be a perfect blend. And like I said, that's where our parenting skills. We have to continue to sharpen them. Right. We educate ourselves on everything else in the world but parenting. Right.
Well, and I never went to parent. Did you go to parent school?
No, we didn't go to parenting school. But
hell no.
But you know, there is some things that we can do when we are, like I said, it just comes down to communication. Like we can't be stubborn as well as parents as well. If we're asking our kids to be, you know, educational and studious and listen and give a good ear, you know, we also have to do the same thing as well. So if we're wanting them to communicate, we have to learn to communicate as well. Because as a parent, I know I hit the wall with my 1-year-old where I go to my wife and I said, listen, I have no clue what I'm doing. Right. And she says, hey, listen, you know, doing little girl hair for the first time,
That's humility, by the way, in case anybody was wondering.
Well, listen, whatever it is. You know
what
I mean?
That's key. I said,
honey, she's crying every time I put her between my legs. Like, what do I do? You know, hey, listen, you got to spray this first, and then you got to give her a comb so she feels like she's a part. You know, and then I did that, and I'm like, ah, wow. And I've just learned something, you know? So, you know, just like we have to, you know, ask questions when we don't know, we still have to educate ourselves as parents to try to at least make a valiant effort to considerably do the right thing, right?
Dude, you waved the white flag. You said, I freaking surrender. I don't know what I'm doing, and I need help. And that's, I think that's fantastic. I love that. I think that more people at least need to recognize, you know, because some people will get very frustrated and won't say anything, you know, and that's why we end up having kids, you know, sometimes get maybe a spanking they didn't need or something like that, because parents... I always tell my kids, listen, I'm just a freaking 53-year-old guy driving a 15-year-old car. I'm still a kid at heart, right? I just experience more. But I'm still, you know, I call them mini adults. There's some things they teach me, and I have to be open to that idea. You know, I had this, my son was working and you know, I'm not going to say him, but he was working for a company. And, that, you know, a lot of companies, small businesses especially, have been struggling because of what's this pandemic, right? And
absolutely.
And so he would go to work, and then if it wasn't busy, they'd send him home. And I would get very frustrated. I'm like, if they've issued you a time to work, they should give that to you. I don't like that since he's a young kid that they say, we don't need you, and they just send him home. So his last day, I went in there, and I was like annoyed because he's like, they're sending me home. You need to come pick me up. And so today, yesterday, he goes, I'm gonna go work with them again. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, and you're not allowed to go and yell at him anymore. And I'm like, oh. Well, I felt bad because I really don't. I'm like, did I yell at him? I don't recall yelling at him. But he's like, yeah, you're not allowed to go in there and do that again. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm always going to stick up for you.
Right, when you can't defend yourself.
Right, I'm not going to let that happen again. Absolutely. But he was like, almost like, you know, you need to check yourself. And I was like, shit. Maybe, because I really don't want to be that guy that like goes in. But that day I was annoyed. I'm like, how come he sent me home? So he kind of put me in check. You see, so what I guess that means is I still have a lot of stuff to learn, right?
Hey, listen, that's what this world is, right?
Pull that just a little bit closer to you.
That's what this world is. It's all about, you know, continuously educating ourselves to become what we need to be for the moment, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the program. So, or let's talk about the event coming up, because that's why you are here. I just didn't want to talk for 5 minutes and have nothing else to talk about.
No. It's good, you know. It's good. So what we have coming up, April 2nd, you know, at Cape and Lopen High School.
All right.
Making a Difference Coalition has orchestrated probably one of the most difficult things that I've done in a while.
So Make a Difference Coalition. Do you have a website?
Facebook page, Making a Difference Coalition.
Making a Difference Coalition on Facebook.
And then on Instagram, we're... MAD Coalition.
MAD Coalition. We'll post that in the dim seal.
Absolutely.
Just going to intern some stuff up.
And there we post all of our pictures, all of our information of what we have coming up. I mean, some good stuff on there. Always all about the community.
Okay.
And like I said, what we're doing on April 2nd, we've created something called the Ballers Classic. My partner, Arthur Jones, he's over at Beacon Middle School.
Okay.
And, you know, he says, listen, Rob, we got to do something. We got to do something now. I said, well, what are you talking about? This is like, you know, post-COVID.
Right.
And I said, what are you thinking, man? Listen, you know, I can will it if we can, you know, get some people on board. And he said, you know, I want to do something that's never been done. We have a passion for sports. You know, a lot of the kids that we target are pretty much right in that area, athletic, you know, low income, you know, just throwing out some information about, you know, who we want to target and what we want to target and what we want to do. And I said, well, how about we just let's just go for it. Worst thing that can happen is we can get rejected, right?
Absolutely.
So
and it's not even that bad.
It's not even that bad. You know what I mean? Listen, I grew up in Rehoboth, and I come up going down Dewey Beach when I was too young to go. And I understand that sometimes it's a game of volume. you got to put up a lot of shots in order to get one or two to go through, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's a reminder that everything doesn't start off in a big glorious event, you know? Do you have to have you got to start.
Yeah. Old man always told me, despise not small beginnings, you know? So we started this, and he said, man, we can't get a school. We did our first event outside. And what we did is we took we said, well, we don't want to include whole schools. We don't want to leave kids out. But kids are going to get left out eventually. But let's try to find a way to do it, you know, and do it healthy and do it the right way. So we picked 12 kids from Delaware.
Okay.
From, you know, our region here, you know. I grew up in Sussex Tech. I went to Sussex Tech. You know, some of the guys went to Cape, Indian River.
Sussex,
you
know, County?
Sussex County, basically. Okay. County, which Kent County, Sussex County. You know, we don't want to exclude anybody in Delaware on this lower half, right?
Not anybody's feelings get hurt.
We took 12 players from every section. You could say the South, the North, and Newcastle. And we said, what if we can get these 12 best kids to play against kids that they never get a chance to play against?
Yeah.
Which would be in our immediate reach, the Salisbury area. I guess they call it the Bayside, right?
Yeah.
And they're separated just like we are, Henlopen North, Henlopen South. So Bayside North, Bayside South. And we said, what if we can get the 12 kids from over there, the best kids in the area, to play against our 12 kids, see what happens? You know, of course, hard to get the kids buy in because they don't communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
But the persistence, you know, finding the right way to approach them, when to approach them. We found a crafty way to, you know, get these kids to buy in and get them to, you know, get involved in something that's altogether different. And while we have them, give away some scholarships, do some giveaways, you know, service the community all in one house. And we've been able to do that. So we've been taking it from Delaware, moving it to Maryland on the opposite years. So the last year we were in Salisbury at the Salvation Army.
Okay.
And went well again. We had two teams, you know, their South and their North versus our North and our South, the best 12 players. And, you know, it was a hit.
And this is basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a hit, basketball. And, you know, the Maryland side after the event, oh, you guys don't like girls? I said, no. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, listen, we love the ladies. You know what I mean? We want to make sure that we include them. And we've been trying, you know, do a couple of trial and error, failed opportunities and you know, lack of registrations and things like that. So we say, hey, listen, when 2022 comes around, we'll spearhead it again. We'll see what happens. And now we're physically able to get into school. No mask mandates. COVID is still around, but hopefully in our immediate rear view. And we have an opportunity to bring something else. So now we've expanded. We have the top 12 eighth graders in this Kenton, Sussex area versus their top eighth graders. And that's going to be great. You know, because AAU consumes our parents in the off seasons, and you know, like, and it's just.
So what is the goal? I mean, obviously, we're trying to be involved with kids, right?
Yeah.
Be a voice. I remember when we used to have the big basketball tournament here at Cape Henlopen. What was it?
Slam Dunk to the Beach.
Slam Dunk to the Beach.
Absolutely.
So that was about. I mean, that was had some other. I don't even know what that was about.
They just took the best schools in the pretty much on in the from around period, the top schools. You know the.
But it was about trying to get into college. I mean, there was like yeah, scouts. Was, yeah, I mean, it became yeah, like a big deal.
So that's basically. I mean, we're doing the same thing. We're creating opportunities for scouts and college coaches to be in the building. Like I said, full circle, giving these kids opportunity. The difference between us is the Ballers Classic hosts eighth graders for the first year, but as far as high school, we've include ninth grade through 12th grade, so we try to, you know, get all of the best players, you know, the best ninth grader, best 10th grader, best 11th grader, best 12th grader, and put them on the same team, and just, you know, swing for the fences and see how that works. For me as a coordinator, winning the game isn't as important for me as creating the opportunities for the kids.
Well, that was my question, is how do you prevent, I mean, how do you not make it about being awesome still creating humility without trying to be awesome?
Well, it's going to be awesome anyway, just because we have the top talent all the way from Wilmington all the way down to lowest Sussex. Like, I mean, there's, out of the top 50 players, we have at least 25, 30 of them, you know?
Okay.
And, I mean, so the event's going to be awesome in itself just because we have high caliber players in Maryland. Oh, man, Maryland has some guys and some girls that can go as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably 25 to 30 on their side as well. So just think about an event where we're having five games, 60 kids from Delaware, 60 kids from Maryland, was that 120 kids, 35, let's just say ballpark, 35 of the top guys out of each 60, you know, there's going to be some good basketball.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, how do you maintain some civility? I mean, I've seen, you know, I love watching And1. I love these, you know, these youth soccer, I mean, basketball tournaments. But it gets pretty heated. I mean, some emotions that run pretty high in those things.
Well,
so how do you
exactly
maintain, you know, something about, you know, helping youth and at the same time helping awesome? They're tough.
Well, it's a clash of the states, so you're going to have that competitive energy, right?
Sure.
Maryland's coming to bring it. Delaware's coming to bring it. You know, I guess, you know, when we do our meet and greets with all the teams and all the players, you know, we sell them on the opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to get, like, too wild in front of college coaches, right? You know, you have goals. You want to play at the next level. You know, there's a certain mannerism that you have to carry yourself. So let's conduct ourselves in an orderly fashion. So, you know, we haven't had a problem with that just because we try to make a valiant effort to sell the message of how hard we're working on our end to create the exposure for the kids. And, you know, just on the Maryland side alone, you know, there's a plethora of kids who are top tier kids who don't have offers, who don't have colleges interested in them. You know what I mean?
Mm.
My mom told me years ago, like, hey, listen, son, if the immediate group around you can't create opportunities for you, you have to launch yourself out there and create opportunities for yourself, you know. So we just try to create that opportunity for those who don't have the opportunity or don't have the looks. And, you know, we invite all college coaches, any college coaches with credentials, JUCO, community college, Division III, Division II, come. If they have their credentials, they get in for free. Just have an opportunity to look at our kids. You know, one thing that I have learned is that sometimes our local colleges don't scout kids from our local areas. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Well, I mean,
they have certain places.
Listen,
certain...
if the kid's 7 foot tall, they're scouting him.
Well,
scouting where the scouting.
Yeah, they're scouting where the talent is.
Right.
But just general purposes, you know what I mean? I think it's based on who you know and what you know, right? You can only help within the realm of your reach. So if such and such college bring in a guy from Connecticut and all of his resources and his networks are in Connecticut, then where is he recruiting? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So unless, you know, they have a well-rounded program, they have their eyes and ears everywhere, you know, and there's the buzz of what if we can get that top player from Florida or New York or, you know. But, you know, we just want to create more opportunities for our locals, you know. And then once we bring more high caliber players in, then our locals that aren't as qualified to get into these colleges, hopefully their eyes will be opened up to, hey, I need to work harder. There's some things I need to do to polish my game in order to get there to the next level, because not every kid has parents who can afford the AAU circuit to get them the exposure to travel across the world every weekend. I mean, that's a tough thing. That's why I didn't play travel sports, you know.
Right.
Single parent home, mom busting her tail, two jobs. Like, you know, how are we going to be on a travel baseball team? Right. That's, you know.
So the LIFT program and what you're doing now, they're really two different types of things.
Absolutely. They're completely two different organizations.
Two different organizations. One was really about, you know, helping young folks, and this is really about basketball. Can you combine?
Listen. Our missions aren't too far off. You know what I mean? In terms of serving the community, servicing people, like when you're talking about servicing people and you're here to serve, like the premise is the same. You know what I mean? We want you to do well. We want you to grow. We want you to expand. We want you to embrace opportunities. That's what LIFT is about. That's what Making a Difference Coalition is about. You know.
I loved how in the LIFT program there was really starting almost from basics, just how you dressed. I love just that
absolutely
kind of thing. So how can you implement some of those same kind of rules into the same?
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, you still got to have respect. You
absolutely
know, you still got to have dignity. You still, you know, you have to have poise. I mean, there's things that, you know, you can have a great team and have one kid that just can't seem to pull that stuff together. You know, I always think of like Antonio Brown. You know, he was amazing. He still is. But he's always wait till when's it going to happen, right? You know, doing jumping jacks across the end zone of the Jets game. That was that moment, right? It's like still trying to be able to hold yourself together and at the same time be at a next level.
But and that's why what I like about and love about Making a Difference Coalition, because of who we have involved. We have so many mentors already in the program.
Right.
So when we do these meet and greets and we leave open opportunities to ask kids questions and you know, coach and teach them in other things beyond basketball, you know, whether that's etiquette or hey, listen, when you walk in and you know, not every kid has an opportunity to, you put a microphone in their face, you know, you're going to get some terrible, some terrible content, you know,
yeah, watch out,
you know, so just steer clear. But, you know, that's what we're about. We're about creating opportunities to get kids in front of the camera, mm-hmm. know what to say, how to say, when to say it, you know, your posture, the energy you bring, you know, your mannerism. You know, the words you choose to use in certain situations, you know, and look at the NBA. You know, that's what it is. When they pull those guys to the side, they don't pick those live wires who are going to just fly off the handles and say anything, right? You know, LeBron loses by 30. You know, he tries to keep his composure as best as he can to stay as professional as he can to save face, right? So, you know, there's opportunities there where we have mentor programs coming up where we're going to be able to teach these athletes and these young kids how to speak and how – to carry themselves in a way that's going to carry them through life.
Do you guys work with kids in as far as like social media goes? Because I'm not sure a lot of kids realize, you know, what we grew up, we didn't even have social media, right? But, you know, these kids now, like my son, my 10-year-old, his whole life is basically social media.
Everything.
It's not his whole life, but everything he's done from his little TikTok videos to his little YouTube stuff to his, he is not. You know, we're like, you cannot be on Facebook and you cannot be on Instagram, but he's on Roblox. He's on
everything.
Yeah, everything. So he still has a social media footprint. And I think, you know, when you first get into it, I remember when I first got into it, and, you know, you'd write stuff. And today you look back and go, why would I ever have even said that? I mean, now it's like you don't even want to say anything.
Absolutely.
So do you try to help kids kind of work their way through that social media world?
Well, absolutely. Because
if you're a sports player and you're good,
you have to be the total package. You got to be the total package when you go to the next level.
That's absolutely right. That's my point.
One of the things that I was made aware of is that if a college coach is really interested in you, well, the first thing he's going to do is go to Twitter, mm-hmm. go to Facebook, go to Instagram, see what you're posting.
Dude, employers do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's part of the job application, right?
That's right. Can we look at your LinkedIn? Can we look at your Instagram?
Yeah, because they want to know they're getting the right people. You know, and literally that's what the whole process is about, like making these kids aware that, you know, you can have a super talented kid over the moon. Well, if he don't know how to talk and he don't know how to conduct himself in orderly fashion, nobody's going to want, he's going to be damaged goods, right?
That's right.
So literally that's what the process that making a difference is developing, and we're growing a step at a time is basically getting these kids more familiar with how to embrace opportunity. When it comes, you know, everybody always just say in my day, listen, when opportunity comes, you just got to be ready. You know, but nobody told us how. How, so do,
how
we
do
be
you,
ready?
How do you get the kids together? Like, obviously, it sounds like it's new.
Listen,
figuring it out.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
It takes a village. I mean, we're dealing with, like you say, you're bringing 12 different kids, possibly from different schools, together just on one team. You know, we might have one team with, what, 8 schools in each bracket, right? Hinlopen North, right? So, you know, we're 8 schools, 12 players. Like, whoa. You know, we're dealing with different energies, different lingos.
Different parents.
Different parents, right? You know? And, you know, it just, like I said, it takes a village, and that's why I love that we have the right people because, you know, when I'm ready to blow up sometimes, the guys say, hey, listen, be patient. You know, I've dealt with this before. Let me intervene. Let me jump in. All right, take the wheel. Go ahead, you know. And then I learn on, oh, that's how you deal with that situation, you know. So it's a learning process for us as well, you know. Kids don't communicate well. Mm. You know, we get kids that register all the time, and then, you know, the parents are like, they can't play. They didn't tell you they're in this sport, and they're in this sport, and they're committed to other things. And they're like, oh, okay, well, you know, our program is contingent on having them be present. So,
well, and you have to have a level of maturity for yourself, Rob, because I know that when one of my kids was doing soccer and there was no coach, so I said, you know, sure, I'll volunteer, mm-hmm. right? I went and bought some cones, doing some drills, and we had a game. And this was when I was building this app or something, and somebody, this guy from India, called while I was coaching. Well, I wasn't coaching; we were having a game, but I'm, you know, walking the sidelines and I answer the phone. Man, this lady fucking let me have it, man. She just, I wasn't educated on how to handle that. You know, absolutely. My first response is, I'm volunteering, I quit. Right? Because that's self. Like, you just got your ass chewed out. Because, you know, I'm trying to balance my whole life. I'm trying to volunteer, And this lady's like, if you don't care about this team, get off the field. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I'm like, you know what? Screw you. I quit. And then, you know, I'm thinking, but this is about the kids, right? And what is my example? Oh, someone doesn't like what I'm doing or how I'm doing it, and I don't like that they said it, so I quit? I mean, what am I, 8? So I had to start to figure out how – well, first thing I realized, I wasn't going to be cut out as a coach anymore. So, but, you know, as a guy that's kind of taken this – the leader, you're going to have parents, right, that come at you.
Yeah.
It's tougher now than ever. There's coaches and referees that aren't even doing the job anymore because they just don't want to deal with
the
parents.
Pressure. Yeah, with the pressure of parents. And just imagine this. We got kids coming from the Bayside, north, top of Kent Island, all the way down to Crisfield.
Yeah.
And then the south team from the top of Crisfield all the way down to Decatur, which is like Salisbury.
Yeah.
And then we're here from the lowest Indian River all the way up to Newcastle, Wilmington. Like, so we're dealing with a lot of parents, a lot of kids. Everybody's been beautiful. Everybody, the energy's been great. And you know, my thing is always this, is that, you know, like, as long as we continue to create opportunities so these kids can experience something that they've never had before, you know, like taking a ninth grader and putting them on the team with one of the best players in the state as a senior, and they're like, oh, wow, I get to play with these guys, you know? So, there's these moments where we can create these small pockets of wow factors, and then literally just try to give them as much exposure as possible, just because I didn't have these opportunities when I was younger. Nobody cared enough to say, hey, listen, we're going to create a program that's going to be tailor-made for, you know, athletes of any capacity, and this is what we're going to do, and everybody's going to be included. You know what I mean? You know, it was just like, you know, there's a lot of programs out here that are not for everybody, you know? And you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to include everybody. We added girls this year. We have girls, a girls team, middle school team, you know, 3 boys games going on, so 5 games total. I mean, it's just, like I said, throughout the entire process, you know, there's going to be some highs and lows. But as long as we can continue to keep the mindset that, hey, listen, we're doing this with the kids, doing this for the kids, you know, any time opportunity we have to kind of speak life into these kids, we're going to seize that opportunity to coach them. Some kids aren't well coached at all. Some kids are well coached. So, you know, you're getting in a melting pot where we're instructing our seniors, hey, listen, man, if you see some of these young kids get out of line, man, just let them know, like, this is the way it should be, you know?
When I was, you know, I'm sober. And when I first got sober, I remember someone told me, they used the phrase, keeping my side of the street clean. And I was like, what does that mean? And what it meant was, is that at the end of the day, I kind of take a personal inventory of myself and just how my day has gone, and just kind of looking back through the day, and if I made any mistakes, you know, as a person that was kind of living this immature life, you know, doing what I was doing what I wanted, and to change over into a life of a little bit less me and a little bit others, thinking of others and stuff like that. And when I started to lay my head down at night and start to, you know, I'd be like, God, I'm really uncomfortable with what had happened, whether it was just as simple as, you know, as a person, like, I was basically a 15-year-old kid when I got sober in my 30s. And I remember just, like, holding the door for people and these new experiences that I never, like, oh, someone's coming, let me hold the door, instead of just walking in. And
never held the door.
Nah, son of a bitch. But I would lay in bed, I'm like, God, I should have apologized, or I should have held the door. And so what I've learned in my life is that when I make a mistake, I have now been given the green light to say, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there's another part of that, though, keeping my side of the street clean, is that I never really paid attention to, is when people used to give me praise. Because someone would say, you know, Tom, you did a bad job, which I heard a lot up until that point, you know. But when all of a sudden, you know, someone said, hey, you did a good job, all of a sudden I want to be president of the company. You know what I'm saying? So I had to try to take a look and make sure my side of the street was clean on all sorts of aspects, good and bad. You know, I have to remind myself, listen, just because someone said you did a good job or you've done well for the first time in freaking 30 years doesn't mean you need to be president of the company. So how do you keep – do you try to help? Because, like, I don't know what – sometimes feeling good can be just as dangerous We have to keep that under check. I do, at least.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you think about that, Rob?
I don't think about it as much because I'm just my personality in general, just more selfless. You know what I mean? I'm not really, that doesn't really affect me too much. But I do know people that they have to constantly have checks and balances in place to.
Well, especially young people.
Yeah. Oh, especially young people. You know, especially young people.
Well, I mean, if you take 12 kids that really, you know, from all different areas, pull them together, start doing amazing things.
Everybody's the top guy or the top girl, right?
Right. And you start doing amazing things, you have to really. I'm not sure how we educate or teach that message, but listen, you have to keep, you know, listen, don't get your feathers too fluffed up, right? You have to still try to find a center.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hey, listen, that's definitely a good analogy. Keep your side of the street clean, right?
Damn right.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, sometimes I'll get in bed and I'm like, God, I'm just feeling amazing right now. I've done something special today and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to fall asleep, you know? But then I'd say, hey, you know, you had a good moment, but that's because I've done a lot of work, and I think that's probably the message. Listen, you're doing awesome because of all the work we've been doing, guys and girls.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and we'll continue to push that message as well because that's important for our kids and even our adults to stay humble. Because what I have learned is that when you're not humble, you know what I mean? When you're not humble, you're not in a position to receive anything. You know what I mean? It's like fist closed. Mm-hmm. When you are humble, you know what I mean? You can receive some things.
Well, humility creates healing. No humility creates victims and characters. Well put. And I always tell, you know, I tell my kids, you know, I want you guys to create character for yourselves. I don't want you to become characters. You know, we're making characters, not characters. And you know, I think that's it's a great message. I just love that you're doing that stuff. It is a, you know, you make me, I'm slightly jealous.
Don't be jealous. I mean,
well, I love it that you're just.
It's hard work, believe me.
Yeah, no, I imagine it is.
You know, it's a certain point in time where I'm into these events and I'm just like, man, I'm ready for it to be over already. It hasn't even started. Yeah. You know, I hit that wall the other day and then, you know, something good happens. A kid calls, hey, Mr. West, you know, I'm excited about playing. All right, man, then I'm fired up again. You know, so. You know, it's got some highs and lows, but definitely well worth it in the end. And then I can't praise the team enough because anything you do in life is all about being surrounded around the right people. You know, not just people, but the right people. When you have the right people in place, you know, where I lack, they're strong. You know what I mean? And where they lack, I can compensate. And when you have that kind of system in place where, I mean, my buddy Derek Savage, AJ Jones, I mean, the list can go on,
right.
of guys who literally not just are good guys, but we also share the same mindset. You know, we want to see this thing get done, and we don't care how we get it done. We got to make it happen because we understand if we continue to create these opportunities for the kids, and then there's more opportunities for them to get put up on a pedestal. And it's our job, like you said, to have these mentoring seminars and different things in place so that when they get to the moment, they know how to handle the moment.
Yeah.
And that's most important because there's nothing like, you know, you ever seen the movie Hercules? I mean, was it Hercules? No, it was the dude with the Achilles.
Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
How arrogant and cocky he was when he was in the moment. And, you know, and you know, that's the worst kid to deal with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can destroy all these guys, and I don't care about anything, and I'm going to do it my way. You know what I mean? But once you start to develop kids and help them find themselves in a way that's going to help them to also be selfless and have the spirit to serve as well, I mean, that really does something because now, you know, we've helped put another kid in the community that's going to pay it forward and help other kids. You know what I mean? It's pointless to gain a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of wisdom and a bunch of understanding on certain things and keep it to yourself. You want to have kids and people and adults in places to that when they receive knowledge and wisdom, you know, they pay it forward and they give that wisdom out because a lot of things I learned didn't cost me anything.
Right.
You know, and it would be senseless and pointless for me to hold on to that valuable information that I received for free. And charge somebody for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, what would be nice or what we could hope for is as we teach this kind of stuff to young people now, and then they become, you know, young adults with that same stuff, and then they start to pass. So when the next generation of young people start coming through, and we do that. And then as they move into that middle age, you're kind of surrounded with people that kind of think that as well. You know, it's one thing to be like, yeah, we need to be humble and we need to, you know, not be self-centered. And then you pass it, and then you go into your teenage or your mid part of your life, and everybody's like, we need to think about ourselves. And so, you know, it'd be nice if we could kind of continue that theme as we get, because the only reason I ever found out about any of that stuff is because I had to get sober. You know, nobody was teaching, and I think it's changing. I think we're becoming more more into spirituality maybe a little bit now. I don't recall it much as a kid, but we hear it a lot now.
Yeah, I think it's just a fact of being more conscious.
Yeah.
Being more aware. I mean, you know, and that is important because, I mean, 16, 17, 18, I was aimless. I was just going.
Yep.
I was just shooting in the wind.
Yep.
I had no direction, no purpose, nothing was calculated. And I was always in the moment. You know what I mean? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then that's not a good way to live. Because
it's not a good way to live. I think we all go through it. It's coming out of it and understanding and recognizing and changing. Some people never come out of that.
Yeah, some people
they
never
just
come
live
out
that
of
way
it.
Forever.
Yeah,
and it's a toxic life. it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's definitely unfortunate. But
all right, Rob. So what is it, April 2nd?
April 2nd.
So we're gonna try to do this every year. Is this gonna be? Yeah, what's the big goal?
So the goal is to create more opportunities, man.
Okay.
Create more awareness. Create more buzz. I mean, like, man, there's been some good people helping me out with this process, man. And that's the goal, man, to keep it going, keep paying it forward.
For volunteers? Are you looking for help?
I mean,
you got it.
We're always looking for help. Anybody's free to call me, inbox us. You know what I mean? Like, hey, listen, we never turn anybody down. You know, we always got our hands out in terms of, you know, hey, listen, if you want to learn or you want to jump in and you want to help and you have a passion to impact the community and affect these kids, like let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all about creating an army of positive people with the same mission to do good and move forward.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's the goal. Like I said, where it's going, I couldn't tell you where it's going. I mean, hopefully UP.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, this is just one of the many things we do, and we just have so many kids involved that it'd be senseless not to let our communities know that, hey, listen, some of your favorite players, some of your, you know, kids in your school district are going to be here, and they're going to be representing not only your school but their state as well, and we're going to make sure that they try to maintain as much professionalism as possible. Because, like I said, we're putting systems in place where we can have one-on-one with these kids and build a rapport with them. Because, I mean, the goal isn't to have these kids play for us and put on a good showing and then we racketeer a bunch of money. No, that's never the goal. The goal is to get these kids on and help them through a process that might seem easy for us to look on the outside. Oh, these guys can play. You know what I mean? But nobody knows the work that they're putting in.
Right.
Nobody knows what they're doing to their bodies and what sacrifices they make. You know, one of the things that we tried to put in place this year is that, you know, hey, listen, everybody participating in this event, you know, we want to make sure that you're maintaining the college standard GPA. And if not, darn close to it. Because this is how opportunities are made. You're student-athletes first. Students. You know?
Well, that's why I was kind of wondering how you can kind of implement some of that lift lifestyle into this coalition because, yeah, well, you know, you still have to, you know, have good kids, right?
Yeah, you got to have good kids. You got to have positive kids. You got to have kids with the right energy. You got to have kids that are going to be willing to work with 11 other guys that they've never worked with before.
I guess you always can hope you just, you know, when a kid leaves you to head out onto life, then maybe they're better, been around better examples during that period than when they met you.
Absolutely. And that's what our name is about, making a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because making a difference goes beyond, you know, this athletic stuff. Making a difference is a choice, right?
Yep.
It's a choice. And this is a choice that we want these kids that are participating in this event to understand that they will have long term. You know, because
well, and there's a lot of kids, man. They love that. They love the glory, right?
Oh, man.
You know,
listen.
My Odell Beckham killed football, man, because all my son wants to do is catch with one hand, and he doesn't want to do any of the other work. He just wants that one-handed catch like Odell, and I don't think they realize all of the work Odell has put into that one-handed catch.
That's just one of his many attributes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved that he had a great year. It was awful that he hurt his knee at the end of the season, but, you know, he was getting a lot of grief. you know, they were, this was Odell's fault. And then when he went over to the Rams, man, he was just awesome. And
yeah.
I'm glad. No, I don't know if he, I don't know what his knee status is.
We also invited, just to let you know too, we also invited like any student sections that support these kids like during the high school season. Like, you know, you guys got free game to come out and you know, support this event. You know, they've created you know, anybody from Delaware, we're all black, we're gonna do a blackout. You know, support your fans, support your player, favorite players, and whoever is the best dressed and the best fan, we're gonna have gifts and prizes and giveaways to give away. Same thing with Maryland, we got a red out for them. So any student body.
So did you say it's all black?
For Delaware student section, yeah.
Okay.
So if any student section that wants to come, Delaware is wearing all black.
Okay, wearing.
Yeah, wearing all black. It's a blackout. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not getting blacked out.
Did I hear that right? I was like,
Three tequila shots at
can't
the door.
Go.
Yeah, no. But, you know, so we're
I've been blacked out before.
So the theme is a blackout theme. Okay. You know what I mean? So, you know, just wear black, you know, come and be wild and be crazy. Let's be respectful. Let's represent our state.
That's all over. Always all black. It's very
Tom's
slimming.
Already on board, he's ready Delaware.
Slimming.
Yeah, in Delaware, in Maryland's doing it. We're doing a red out for them. And like I said, we're just trying to get as many people in the stands to come support our local kids and, you know, give them an opportunity to be themselves in the way that they can be themselves. And I think it's going to be great, man. We've been having a good turnout. It's been at least like 400 or 500 people showing up at every event.
Wow, nice.
So, okay. Like, now this is the first physical school that we're able to actually be in, you know. So, like I said, if anybody wants to see some raw, good talent, I mean, we got a couple Gatorade Player of the Years coming, a couple Player of the Years from Delaware and Maryland participating. So, I mean, it's going to be.
So, is it just one day? Because it sounds like it could.
It's just one day. It's just one day. Listen, it was one day of glory. Listen, I've intentionally made the prices cheap. So it's $5 for students in high school or under. That's five games for $5. That's $1 a game.
So you got five games, and then it dwindles down to the champion.
Well, it's not just necessarily a champion. So that our eighth grade boys will be playing against eighth grade boys, one game apiece.
Oh, okay.
So at every bracket. You know, it's a showcase. It's not a tournament. It's not an all-star game. It's a showcase. We're allowing the kids to come together at their own free will to showcase their talent in front of their favorite state, from their favorite people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it sounds like this thing's pretty going to be awesome, and it sounds like it's going to grow.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I guess it'll be fun to watch how you just maintain it from, you know, spiraling into
huge
event.
If you guys are free, man, stop by, man, because it's going to be a great event. We got Grandpa Matt's going to be a food truck in outside.
Nice.
Rita's will be there.
Okay.
Fractured Prune will be there.
Oh yeah.
April 2nd, so we're looking. It's
yeah.
It's
not far. Yeah.
Bountiful Bowls will be in the building.
About 2.5 weeks.
Yes.
Akai Bowl.
Aussie
Bowl.
Yeah.
That's good.
Super Fruits, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got some good
people.
They've
been on the podcast.
Yeah. Chelsea, she's cool, man. She's cool. Yep. Like I said, surrounding ourselves around cool people, good energy. I think it's going to be a great day, man. Like I said, we just can't say it enough. Like, any coaches.
And it's at Cape.
Players. Just come out at Cape and Lopen High School. Nice. The first tip-off is at 11:30.
Okay.
The doors open to the public at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just not taking credit card at the door. All funds that we receive from entry fees will go towards the scholarship fund at the end of the year, where we'll be, like I said, trying to create some opportunities for some kids who need some things, whether that's U-Haul, whether that's printers, whether that's laptops, you know, whatever, you know, the kids that get selected, we'll consultate with them and, you know, see what their immediate needs are, and we'll try to service that. And actually, I like doing that versus putting money on their books at school, because it gives me a sense of, when I give you something, and I've always taught like this, it's yours. You know, I'm not going to ask for it back. I don't want to hang it over your head. Like, if Making a Difference Coalition gives you a laptop, you know, listen, use it to the best of your ability and try to make some money with it. You know, same thing with your printer, you know, U-Haul, like, opportunity. Just take advantage of them. You know, we're 100% for the kids, for the community. And we couldn't be happy enough to, like I said, be at Cape and Lopen High School to get to this point where we're at now. I mean, I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
No, it's great. I think Dempsey's right. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And if you don't mind, I just wanted to shout out a couple
shout
of
it
our
out.
Sponsors, man.
Like, please.
One second. Let me grab this up. So we've been getting some good support. We support local local mom and pop business, and we're excited to have Coastal Concrete, Jeremy Petney, Jody and Diane from Fractured Prune, All Serve Enterprises and Misfit Ministries, Rita's. You know Tom over at Rita's?
I don't.
Man, awesome, man. You got to get
him. I know Rita's, though.
You got to get him on the podcast, delicious. Man. He's a good guy, man. Orion
Come
Cameron.
Come on, Tom.
Orion Cameron, Grandpa Tom Matt, Factory Sports, Pat Woods.
Pat's been on.
Outtrain Fitness, Mike Sager. And then Mike's been on.
Mike's been on.
Urban Float, Carlos. You talked to Carlos.
Carlos
you know
has
Carlos.
Been on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corporate.
Yanni and his crew over at Crystals.
Yep.
I mean, they're awesome. T-Spice and Exchange on the Avenue, Rehoboth.
Don't know him.
Oh, man. You got to get him in, man. My wife is the manager of that store now. And oh, you're talking about
help
some,
me.
Some,
Rob,
some
help.
Healing teas and...
Tell my intern. He has this, he seeks them out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Amy Schnurr over at Tanger Outlets.
Okay.
Like, you know, we got some good people helping us, man, to try to make this event what it's going to be. Listen, you plan well, things will go good.
Right.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's time, right? We did 2 years. We beat COVID.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Listen,
congratulations, right?
Yep. And it's time. You know, it's
practice our communication skills again.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's fair to say get back to normal. I felt like really, you know, obviously the people that might have passed away during COVID was tragic, but I felt like there was really some great things that came out of it.
Some great opportunities.
Taking a hard look at ourselves and finding some gratitude, right? And
absolutely.
And realizing how quickly things can be taken
don't
away.
Don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore.
That's right. And
oh man, those kids in Maryland didn't get to play basketball last year.
They didn't.
No. You know.
I don't think anybody did. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they played. Some people played with masks, but I know Maryland didn't play basketball 1 year, and it's just like those kids were hurting over there. So when we had that event in Maryland, oh, they were ecstatic.
Well, I think it's just, it's many things, multifaceted things of reasons why it's great that we're getting back to doing some of the stuff that we were doing. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me, man.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the door's always open for you.
Yeah.
You got something? Come on.
Hey, listen.
We love it.
I'd like to see you guys in the building April 2nd.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. What is that, Saturday?
Love basketball,
it's a Saturday.
So.
Yeah, make it happen. I mean, it's going to be worthwhile.
Is that a new coalition? The Make It Happen Coalition? I'm starting that.
Make it happen.
My problem is I'm working, so...
The intern will pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll send the intern. But I want to come. I'd love to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just get overwhelmed with other stuff. It's unfortunate, but I'm going to try.
That's all we can ask you to do.
You're staring at me, Rob. All right, Rob.
I'm going to guilt trip him the whole time.
Give us all your social. It's Making a Difference Coalition.
Making a Difference Coalition
Facebook.
Is the Facebook page. The Instagram page is MAD Coalition.
MAD Coalition.
Instagram.
Making
Facebook.
A Difference, yep. MAD, I like that. And if someone wants to be volunteer, help you out.
So like and follow the page. Feel free to inbox us. We'll definitely get the message. Leave a phone number, email. I'll reach out to you personally. Like I said, we definitely are all about, you know, adding and you know, getting, you know, listen, I can't do it myself, man. It takes a village.
Dude, I get that. It absolutely does.
It definitely takes a village. So I want to make sure that, you know, hey, listen, if there's a chance for us to expand in a way that, you know, I don't know how to, or, you know, we want to hear about it. We want to, you know, bring people in, talk to them, and you know, spread the love.
Spread the love. All right, bud. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll catch you.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.